You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Scott Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. Now, Scalc, of course, the big event tonight is the US Federal Reserve, and the consensus, and I will stress the consensus, seems to be 75 basis points again to the upside. Do you agree with that consensus? Are you part of the consensus?
Hi, Lindsay. Yeah, I must say it's sort of the calm before the storm. Because you're asking me, and I went, you know, from this morning I came in, because we've seen what Canada has done last week. We've seen what Australia has done, you know, 2 weeks before. And I was sort of, over the past week, sort of arm wrestling myself, stating that I think the US are going to do exactly the same thing. I think they're gonna do a 50 basis points, and I don't know. I just want to move sideways for literally just 20 seconds.
Sure.
I don't know if you see this JP Morgan ranks scenario, FOMC rank scenarios, where they look at different scenarios where they said, you know, a 50 basis point hike. And then the tone is either dovish or hawkish. You know, same thing. So 75 basis point hike and 100 basis point hike, and being, you know, the tone being dovish and hawkish. Now, let's wipe 100 basis points off the table, because I do think that that's not going to be the case.
No.
But I did mention that if we do see a 100 basis point hike tonight and the tone is hawkish, we can see a drop in the S&P 500, or they call it the S&P 500 reaction, of anything between 6 and 8% downwards. So, yeah, that'll be a fun day.
Okay.
So we're expecting 75 basis points. And they said, well, if they come out, and they're hawkish, they state that, you know, very similar to what they said earlier this week, where they said, we are not going to stop hiking rates, you know, until inflation hasn't halved, you know, or they come out and say, we're doing 75 basis points, we're still going to do that 50 basis points at the next meeting, and then we see how it goes, which most probably will increase some more. Then they say that the likely scenario for the S&P 500 tonight will be 1% down to 0.5% up.
Huh.
They say, that was, I thought that was quite interesting.
Well, it is, because there's two elements to this, though, Scalc. Sorry to interrupt you. There's the decision where they say, okay, 75 basis points up, and the market says, phew, you know, we were expecting that. And there'll be a bit of jostling between the bulls and the bears. And then, of course, it'll be the post-decision statement where they say, and we're going to continue along this line of 75 basis points until we put the inflation genie back into the bottle. So there's two elements to this, not just the headline number.
Yeah, true. And you know, then they've got the other side where they say, well, we're going to see 75 basis points, which is expected. You know, that's consensus. But then they're going to be dovish. They're going to say, well, ooh, we're worried about the recession. We're worried about this thing spiraling down, hurting the economy, blah, 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 blah. So we're going to do 75 basis points now, but we are sort of not sure we're still going to do that 50 basis points or the full 50 basis points at the next meeting.
Okay.
Then JP Morgan said the likely scenario for something like that is the S&P 500 that's going to move up 2.5% to 3%, you know, from, you know, just before the speech.
Yeah.
50 basis points, hawkish again, where they fairly hawkish, they see a likely reaction in the S&P 500 of 4 to 5%. And here's the best one: if they do hike rates only 50 basis points, and they dovish, they really dovish, and they said we're hiking 50 basis points, and well, we're not sure we're going to be hiking, you know, do any further hikes. We're really worried. They actually see a likely scenario for the S&P 500 of 10 to 12%. Wow, I can't wait for that. But so yes, the answer. So it's a long-winded way of getting to the answer.
Yes, I was about to say, Scalc, I'm not critical of you because I love listening to your analyses, but that is your definition of a 20-second sidetrack is very different to mine.
Luckily, we're not counting. So we've seen the ADP employment numbers came out today, and quite a few jobs were created in last month. Consensus, they were looking at 195,000 new jobs created. Last month, it came out 192,000. So very similar. They were expecting very similar numbers to last month. Came out today, 239,000 new jobs that was created. So quite a big beat.
Yeah.
So when I look at this, I think the Fed will just say, well, you know, maybe we should not be too worried about the economy. Clearly, we're not putting the job market under pressure, no matter what Microsoft said last week when they brought out the results. We're not worried about that. We are focused on getting inflation under control, and we will stay the course.
I think the big problem is not the amount of jobs, it's the wage inflation. Because if they keep on creating jobs and keep on creating jobs, then they'll be scraping the bottom of the barrel, and you'll find people like Lindsay Williams at the bottom of that barrel, and they'll say, you know, why don't you work from home, etc. And I'll say, no, I can't be bothered. And they'll say, okay, we'll pay you 10% more than advertised. I know it's a facetious example, but I think wage inflation is probably their major worry, because that means that inflation stays steady because of the demand factor.
I really, really agree on that point. So again, I think we are going to, you know, consensus currently 75 basis points. I personally think we're going to see a 75 basis point, and I think we'll most probably not see a hawkish tone. I do think that the events of the past 2 weeks, you know, and I think results coming out from Microsoft, Google, that mentioned in the report, you know, in the results, stating that they now starting to feel the brunt of these higher interest rates. They can feel the brunt of a stronger dollar, and I think that might put the Fed in a position where they say, well, we're going to stay the course, 75 basis points, because the job numbers seem all right. I think we can still do the 75 basis points, but I think they will just hint towards don't just expect another 50 basis points. Or I don't think they'll say it that way, but I think they will most probably just be a little bit more more dovish.
No sector is an island, but I think the tech sector, if there were an island in the equity asset class, it would be the tech sector. And I do think that all the talk about these companies being bloated with jobs, and they have to shed these jobs because of the drop in advertising revenues, and obviously implications for expenses. I don't know if other companies are experiencing that, though. So they may be bucking the trend somewhat. But certainly the tech companies have come out with some not startlingly bad numbers. I mean, they're still making billions and billions in the quarter. But on the other hand, they've got to look forward a little bit. How do you approach tech at the moment? They've had a horrible year.
I'm not on the bandwagon yet of saying we're going to be buying the dips. I don't think they're massively cheap yet. I don't think, you know, when you look at PEs, I mean, there is the E as well, and I don't think the E has really been showing the numbers yet of this high interest rate environment, this stronger dollar environment, which is definitely affecting tech companies per se. But just to your point, it's only tech companies. I must say, you know, there's been a few other companies. I actually looked at FedEx. FedEx was a you know, solid example for me, stating that the higher interest rate environment is also starting to have its effect. I mean, they made no uncertain terms that their earnings are seriously affected by the higher interest rate environment.
Yeah.
And we saw the after effect. I think the share price, you know, after they made that announcement, but that, I think it was 4 weeks, 5 weeks ago, it came off with anything 17 or 20% in that one day. And that to me is sort of a really economic indicator. You know, when things, you know, is going well, you see these deliveries, you see these, you know, packages being delivered, people being buying online, etc. They're not doing, but also, you know, the inverse also true. people are going back to the shops, so they don't need stuff to be delivered. They can just go and buy it at the shops. Anyway, bottom line is, I think we speculate the market currently is definitely telling us they're not ready to call a more dovish Fed, because we do see that the U.S. opened somewhat weaker today. But again, I mean, we've said it week in and week out after just before we hear the Fed announcements. I don't think the U.S. are going to be closing where they're currently trading. I think we're in for some fun and games, and you need to be setting your alarm if you're listening to this podcast before 8 o'clock. On the 2nd of November.
Haven't the clocks changed now? Isn't the decision at like 9:15 South African time these days?
It's 2 p.m. It's 2 p.m. U.S. time or Washington time. So just, we can Google it, or you can Google it while I tell you another 20-second story.
I'm just going to go and make myself a cup of tea, and I'm sure you'll still be talking when I come back.
Yeah. Bottom line is, it's going to happen tonight, and I do think that the closing prices at 10 o'clock tonight is going to be quite a bit different than what we got.
Yeah, there's going to be some choppy action from 8 till 10. Okay, let's have a look at the South African market now. It was fairly quiet on the stock exchange news service announcements. In other words, what's happening for listed companies on the JSE Securities Exchange? The one that was quite interesting was Dis-Chem. It's been a good performer since listing. It's had a few ups and downs, as all companies have, but it seems to be adding to its portfolio. Instead of having just vitamins and supplements and that sort of thing and face cream, they seem to be adding other things. There's ready-made meals and all that sort of stuff. Do you own it? And if you don't, do you like it?
No, I don't own it. Do I like it? Yes, I do like it. It's one of those companies, very similar, and we've had this conversation before, very similar to Clicks, which I really like. I like the company, but it's always just been a little bit too expensive for my taste. And when I say expensive, not just in terms of the 33 rand you pay, but the PE ratio you pay, it's a bit of an expensive one for me. That said, great company, great management, and I think they've been doing very, very well in a period where, I mean, you often said, I mean, it's like Clicks. You don't just walk in there and you get your prescription. You always walk out of that place with some cream or toaster or something like that. It's just always something else in your basket. I love the company. Always, I wanted it to get cheaper, and it did. I mean, we saw the share price, go down in September 2020, went down to below the 17 rand levels. I should have just buttoned the bullet and go for it. Today it's trading double the price, but I thought the results were good. I mean, some people might ask, why are we seeing a share price that's declining, just over 2% for today? People should just remember that they did, on the 24th of October already brought out a trading statement where they guided. They actually already said that they're looking at headline earnings per share between 69.7 cents and 70.8 cents per share.
Yeah.
They just brought out that the
it
actual
was a very good guidance. So in other words, there were no surprises today.
70.3 cents is pretty much at the top end of the guidance, and a narrow guidance for that matter. So I wouldn't read too much in the decline in the share price today. Solid increase in headline earnings per share. Solid company. Like I said, well done.
Okay, let's have a look at some spot prices now, starting with the currencies as always. Okay, dollar rand 18.21, British pound against the rand 20.89, euro rand 17.98, euro dollar 0.9870, let's say. So in other words, 1 euro buys you, let's call it 99 cents. And a British pound still below 115, 114.73 for the cable. On the commodities markets, that gold price just can't get going, Skalk. Sorry about that. 1647, which is up a couple. Platinum is up $18 to $9.53, and palladium has fallen by $14 an ounce to $18.61. Now, onto the all-important other commodities, which have been interesting this week. I've got Brent crude oil $96.11, up 1.5%, and West Texas crude in the States up 1.4%, $89.59. Natural gas prices have suddenly shot up again, up 7.75%, and other ones, wheat has plummeted, because I think there's been some conciliatory noises between Russia and Ukraine, and it's also going to be brokered by the Indonesian Prime Minister at the G20 meeting this weekend. I think it's this weekend. Anyway, down 6.3% for wheat. Coal prices down 7.6%. That's not good for South Africa anyway. And iron ore down again. It's now $82 a ton, Skunk, for iron ore. Where did that get to? $200-something a ton at the height of the commodity boom.
Yeah. It went over. I don't have it in front of me, but it went well over. And coal, I mean, it came from pandemic levels. Let's call it the pandemic levels, which was $100. But if you look at that graph, and again, I don't have it in front of me, but it stayed, you know, around about the $100 per ton levels. I would say 5, 6, 7 years it's been trading at those levels, and literally shot up this year to over $400. So these movements, again, is I think if you avid coal follower, Thungela, Exxaro, those type of companies, and you sort of you're throwing the kitchen sink towards this, then I think this might hurt. But I think most people out there, you know, understand that the coal levels, when all the dust settles, and eventually it will, coal levels can't be trading at these, let's call it $400 to $500 per ton levels.
No.
Will it go back to $100 per ton? Well, I don't know. My crystal glass is
long term, of course. And when I say long term, I mean super long term, because it will be like a buggy whip company, because people won't use coal except for fireplaces in country houses in England. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield 4.04%. That's not going to do anything until the Fed decision around 8 o'clock this evening. The South African 10-year is 10.72%. And what else have we got going on here? S&P 500 futures are also fairly inert, just very slightly higher at 3,800. I know they've come off. It's my screen, it fooled me. 3,845 now, people squaring up ahead of the Fed, just over 0.5% weaker. Should we have a look at some of the movers on the JSE today, Scott? Because you're going to have to explain a couple of things. I think there may be a couple of ex-divs or something going on here, but you're going to tell me and put me down savagely, as you always do. No, Lindsay.
I can't wait. Can't wait.
Okay, well, let's start with the downside then. High prop, down 9.4%. Reason for that, please?
Ex-div, 2.90. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. British American Tobacco down 4.9%. Another ex-div story, what?
No, that's actually quite an interesting one. Goldman Sachs brought out updated report today, and they downgraded both the target price from, you know, originally at the target price of, you know, 4,050 pence to 3,800 pence. So that's quite a decline in the target price, and also you know, down to a neutral from a buy. So not a buy anymore, neutral, and boom, there goes British American Tobacco Company, close to 5% down today.
Clicks down 4.5%, Bytes down 3.7%, Harmony down 3.5%. On the upside, Impala Platinum, 4.8% to the good, Anglo American Platinum up 3.5%, and to complete a nice day for the white metal, or rather the PGM complex, Northern Platinum up 3.4%. Truworths rallied 2.5%, and Pepkor, after its trading update, traded 2.4% to the good. Any of you, your favourite stocks performing well or badly outside of those ones, please, Skulk?
Yeah, I thought MTN also. I mean, we had MTN Rwanda and Uganda came out with their results, a 9-month period results for 30 September, you know, close. I mean, and Uganda came out with a 21% increase and profit after tax. Now, just to put that in context, that's, you know, when you look at MTN's EBITDA, now MTN Group's EBITDA, Uganda makes up a little bit over 5.4% of the EBITDA. So this is very good. This follows quite some solid feedback from Nigeria, which is much, much bigger than the 5.4%. MTN liked it, up 1% again today in a market that's been negative. So, yeah, very good.
Okay, give us the closing indices that you follow, please, plus the value traded today.
So the JSE All Share closed today at 67,123 points. That's down 43 basis points. Resources bucked the trend. They were just keeping the nose in the green, up 2 basis points. Industrials down 1.1%. And financials had a solid day, up 49 basis points. I'm going to mention the SA Property Index. SA Property Index, that was down 88 basis points, which will most probably got to do with the fact that the high prop is ex-div. I don't know if it actually reflects the dividends, but I'm not 100% sure. But when we look at the value traded, oh, that's interesting. My screen did not update. Let's go and get that quickly.
Okay. It hasn't been too bad recently. It's been nudging, about plus 20 billion almost every day.
Yeah. So we didn't have yesterday's 30 billion day again. We just shy of the 20 billion mark. Closed the day at 19.8 billion for today. When we look towards the West currently, NASDAQ still struggling today. Currently, NASDAQ trading at 10,782 points. That's down 1%. S&P 500 down 55 basis points. And Dow Jones, that seems to be, again, a value play, 16 basis points down. But as I mentioned, I don't think this matters at all. We need to look at this at 10 o'clock tonight.
Every single day this week, and okay, it's only 3 days, it's been the Dow Jones the best performer, the S&P the next best performer or least worst performer, and the NASDAQ is the one that has really taken the brunt of the selling. Of course, that's just that's something that can reverse very quickly, but it has become a tiny little mini trend. Skalk Lowe, thank you very much for your time. Skalk is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.